having the walk with Jesus every day, and then Jesus shows up and lives are changed. And that's the gospel. And that's what Jesus called us to do. So in the last few years, we've had themes. In 2014, you remember what our theme was for the whole year, anybody? Let Jesus drive. Very good, very good. And in 2015, all this year, I say it at the beginning of every service. What is it? More of God in 2015 in your life. And you're here this morning because you want more of God. Amen. 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 And when there's a hungry people, the Bible says, if you hunger and thirst, He will fill you. And if you're hungry for more of God, there's no maybe. He will fill you. And your life will be transformed. Because we serve a God that transforms lives. So, and in 2016, I'm praying. We'll see. We'll wait for our New Year service. See what our theme will be. Praise the Lord. And in 2015, we've been seeking for more of God in our life. You know, being a Christian is more than just a label. Amen? It's a relationship with our Creator of all the universe. Nothing happens by chance for God's people. You know that. And the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. God knows what He's doing. I love to say this because it's God is not confused with your life. We may be confused with our life, but God is not confused. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. And like a father and a mother will take care of their child and discipline their child and correct them and direct them, so does God to you and me. And that's the journey that we're all on. And we want to be in that journey because God is our Father and He loves us. So nothing happens by chance. God is pursuing you. God is pursuing you. How many of you have been walking that walk and then you drift away a little bit and then you don't know what it is, but you know you got to get it right in your life? That's the Holy Spirit living within you, directing you. Because God's pursuing you. He loves you. This world is not our home. He's pursuing you for that relationship so that we have eternal life. And while we're here on earth, a blessed life. A blessed life. You know, that word, what it means to have a blessed life, you know that actually changes as you grow older. You know that when you're young, a blessed life means money, job, a beautiful wife or husband. That's that. And then when you're older, a blessed life is different. It goes to show you that our ways are not God's ways. When God's looking at the big picture, God's looking at a kingdom. Amen? He's looking at a kingdom, and you're a perfect instrument that He's created to work in this kingdom. You are supposed to impact other people's lives. You may be thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't impact. God's power, transformative power, follows the believers. What does the Bible say? Signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the gospel. And I believe that with all my heart. You are called to make a difference. And whatever the circumstances are that has brought you here today to worship God with other believers, whatever circumstances have come your way that has brought you here, it's not by chance. God loves you and He's pursuing you. How will each and every one of us respond to that great, great love? The enemy, the devil, he's in the business of tearing lives apart. But God is in the business of restoring lives. Amen? He restores lives. He restores relationships. He restores marriages. He restores finances. He restores hope for His people. He is a God of restoration. Amen? Amen? And I want to focus on that piece today with you. He's a God of restoration. The enemy has stolen and the enemy has tried to bring you down. He has, because the Bible tells us, if you turn to John 10:10, the Bible tells us the enemy has tried. And I have a new little toy with this projector. Look at that. Look at that's pretty cool, isn't it? So I have It's kind of hard to use it though, because I got to turn around and it's hard. But the enemy, he's in the business of destroying. The Bible tells us clearly. The Word of God is clear. The thief, the enemy, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, Jesus is saying, I am come to give you life, and that they might have life more abundantly. Amen. God wants you to have an abundant life here on earth. And it's a blessed life. It's not what the world considers a blessed life, fame and riches, but it's what really, really matters. It's what matters. And what matters is that we find our destiny in Jesus Christ, and everything is going to be well. All is well. The Word of God is clear that the enemy seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is an important fact that Christians need to be aware of. You know, when the military get ready for a battle, it's so important to know the battlefield. It's important to know what you're coming up against. And every day, the enemy is doing his best to keep you away from a church congregation, to keep you away from learning about God, to keep you away from having that daily relationship with God. That is his mission, to keep you from being close to God, to be connected to the vine. Because you know what happens when a Christian is connected to the vine of Jesus Christ? It produces fruit. And the enemy doesn't want you to produce fruit. So he's on a mission. And so when I tell you that the enemy is trying to keep you out of church, or the enemy is trying to keep you out of reading your Bible and praying every day, and the enemy is trying to get you not to understand the principle of tithing, because you know what happens when you tithe, right? God takes care of you. And I want to ask this question. When you look at that, praying and church and doing all those things, how successful is the enemy in your life accomplishing that you don't do those things? My prayer is that we understand the battlefield and start rising up as Christians and say, as for me and my house, we will have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Know the battlefield. The enemy has a plan. But God has a plan. And we all know this plan, because in John 3:16, you don't even need to turn there because you all have it memorized. God has a plan. In John 3:16, he says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's a beautiful plan. It's a plan for you and me. It's a plan of restoration, isn't it? I want to review that historically a little bit with you today. God loves you, and there is a plan for you to be restored, for your life to be more abundant, whether it is your family, your finances, your situations, your work. There's no doubt that God is a God of restoration. Restoration. If you don't leave with anything today, leave with this. God is a God of restoration. He will restore what the enemy has stolen. Amen? Amen? And he does steal, because the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, destroy. God is a God of restoration. Let's go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, if you'll turn there with me. Now, it shouldn't be too hard to find Genesis, right, in your Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Here's the plan of the enemy, and it starts at the very, very beginning. You know that things have not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the enemy hasn't changed. In Adam and Eve, he was trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And here he is. Now the serpent, the enemy, the devil was more subtle than any beast of the field in which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So the devil's asking the woman, are you told not to eat anything? And she says, specifically, we can do whatever we want. We can eat whatever. But there's one tree right in the middle with the best looking fruit. That one we can't touch. She didn't say the best looking fruit, but I'm just kind of elaborating. I'm sure it looked pretty good. Isn't that the way the enemy works? It looks good on the outside. And she's tempted, and she tells the serpent, we can eat anything, but that one we can't, or we will die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat. I don't have an apple, but it doesn't say it was an apple. But everybody thinks it's an apple, right, on that tree. But we don't really know. But it was a fruit. Did you all like the tangerines last week? I hope you all. Oh, those that weren't here last week, you missed a bag of tangerines. But she gave in. How bad could it be to eat that fruit? Because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, just turn down a few. And you know the story. And the Lord God said, he's looking for Adam and Eve. And where are you? They're hiding because they know now that they're naked. Because their innocence is gone. And now they know there's a change and they have knowledge that they didn't have before. And God's looking for them. And God, they're hiding. And God's asking them, why are they hiding? And they said it. And he's like, here's what he says. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So God had to kick them out of the garden of Eden. And the man did his best to blame the woman. Does that sound familiar? The man did his best to blame the woman. But God wasn't hearing it. You were accountable, Adam. And you failed. And sin rules mankind. Because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's on the same mission in your life right now. Know the battlefield of your life. Know what's going on in your heart. You know, like in the cartoons, they have the little angel here and the little devil here telling you things. Know that the enemy is trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Adam sinned against God. He failed. He tried to blame the woman, but God held him accountable. And because Adam sinned, all mankind was born sinners in the need of a Savior. You and me were born sinners in the need of a Savior. Amen? But God, I love when God intervenes. But God, who loves you so much, He prepared a plan of restoration. And the plan is, for God so loved the world, Amen. He sent His only begotten Son. Amen? Let's give Him a clap offering for that. He's a good God. Imagine that day when God the Father begins to tell Jesus the Son, we need a plan, and you're the plan. And Jesus, my beloved Son, I need you to go down in the form of man to suffer their pain, to suffer the consequences of sin, even though you are not guilty of it, and to die. A man's death. Can you imagine if you're in royalty and the king tells the royal son to go and live like a peasant? How many of them would do it? Not many. This is an amazing love story, isn't it? They had that and the plan of restoration and Jesus. Let's read that scripture. If you turn to Philippians chapter 2, the Bible actually explains that very well here. Philippians 2, verse 4. Paul is teaching the Philippians and he's saying, don't think about yourself. Stop thinking about yourself. It says in verse 3, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through vainglory or strife, but in humility and lowliness. Esteem others better than yourself. And Paul is going through the litany. If you're going to be a Christian, the hardest thing to understand is that God, it's not hard to understand, it's hard to do. God wants to kill your pride. He doesn't want to hurt it. He doesn't want to injure it. He wants to just kill it. And he's telling them, you got to look at others as greater than yourself, because when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. You see, man teaches us in this world that you need to lift yourself up. That's the enemy's rules. God teaches us to humble ourselves, to serve, and he will take care of you. And that's what Paul is teaching here. And then he's going to use an example. He's going to say, look, verse 4, look, not every man unto his own thing, but every man look also and care for others. Let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. So on that day when God the Father said, Son, we have a plan of restoration. This is what Jesus was thinking. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God incarnate. We believe in the Holy Trinity. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are God in us. Who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. So God the Father says, Son, we have a plan, and it's you. You need to go. And he went. And Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. And he did it with love. And we know the story. You know, Jesus, when he was getting close to his death, and he's sweating blood, and he's stressed out. Because he knows he's about to die a painful death. And he even says, Lord, if there's any other way, I like that, but not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus says in the Gospels. And he goes with the plan of restoration. The plan of restoration. Amen. I'll show the video, and we're going to close. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this plan of restoration. We thank you that you're in the business of restoring families, of restoring relationships, of restoring finances, of restoring our hope, which is in you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you have a plan, and it's good. In Jesus' name, prepare our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead.
Throughout history, people have sung about the mysterious love of God. If his love is so great, why don't we see it on earth? They sing of freedom, but all I see is hunger, sickness, and pain. This world is broken. Where's the proof that God loves us? A friend of mine told me a story about how God came to earth as a man to rescue us. The ruler of the universe chose the company of the sick, the needy, and the hopeless. Instead of judging them, he healed them. His words of hope threatened the religious and the government authorities. To maintain control, they turned the whole world against him. His sentence? Death on a cross, willingly accepted on our behalf. With his last breath, he said, "It is finished." But he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about our failures. All of them. Paid in full. But the most amazing part is this. 3 days after his body was placed in the tomb, Jesus, who was once dead, is now alive. Now his story can continue through us. Our circumstances may not change, but our hearts can. We can have peace, we can have purpose, because we have a promise. Jesus is alive. And because of these things, we know that even when the world is against us, God is for us. And this changes everything.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus is worthy to be praised. Amen. It's the greatest love story ever told. And no matter what you're going through in life right now, you can find hope in the restoration power of Jesus Christ. The enemy has a plan, but God has the greatest plan. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. There is hope in the name of Jesus. There is restoration in the name of Jesus. Amen.